Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington deal. Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Weekend Wars by MGMT, featuring Mithy and Andrew Van Weingarten, for the Memphis Grizzlies, who return in triumph from their Weekend Wars in Boston and Washington.
Yeah, that was a hell of a weekend. Just unbelievable, obviously, beating the Celtics and then taking care of the Wizards. Let's start with the Celtics game. First, the Marcus Smart part of it. You were watching the Celtics broadcast, is that right?
Yeah, I thought that would be more interesting to watch the Celtics feed for that game.
And they went on and on a little bit about Marcus Smart. Is that the
their pregame show? Once the game started, they actually didn't care that much. They noted his when he came into the game, he got the nice ovation, and after that, there wasn't really much talk about Marcus Smart. But they did tons of stuff on their pregame show. You know, they did their own interview with him and highlight packages and the whole shebang.
I guess Marcus Smart goes 1 of 11. In that game, and as you pointed out in your piece, they ended up not closing with Marcus Smart. Closed with Brandon Clark and Jake LaRavia rather than Santi Aldama. And
well, not only did they not close with him, they pulled the plug early, right. and I think in direct response to he took a three early in the fourth quarter that got to him to 1 and 11, and he was taken out right after that. And I think the way he was playing, they weren't going to close with him, but like. You know, there was no, like, you're back in Boston, we got to give you a little bit more time. And they pulled the plug pretty early, which I thought was the right decision in terms of managing the game.
Obviously, the stars of this particular show, Ja and Jaren. Your thoughts on those two?
They were great. That was probably one of the I still haven't had time to go back and look and, like, judge it historically. But I feel like that's got to be one of the better combo Ja and Jaren games we've had. Given, you know, it's a win in Boston for the first time in their career with the Grizzlies and for the first time since 2013, and a defending champion Boston, given that Jaren really took over in the fourth quarter and sort of carried the team offensively, given how good Ja was start to end, I just thought they were great. And Ja, you could tell that Ja was way into it, and he typically has been this season, but the Sacramento game, you know, notwithstanding. But yep. but that he had really rebounded from that Sacramento game, and whatever happened there was in the past, and he was into it from moment one in that Celtics game.
Yeah, 32 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, and included that dunk. I don't think it really violated the dunking. As he pointed out afterwards, he had to dunk that ball.
Well, the dunk thing has predictably become sort of this overwork kind of thing. It's funny, like, he said something to Tim McMahon in Dallas. It's no different than what he's been saying to us multiple times here, and suddenly it's a national story because ESPN wrote a thing about it. And I started talking about this, like, a month ago. And he still has not been crystal clear about it, but my interpretation, which I think is held up, it's not that he has decided not to dunk. It's that he has decided to be more selective about it to reduce wear and tear. And what he's really stopped doing completely, I wrote about this specifically in my like 10 takes thing a few weeks ago, what he's really stopped doing is attacking big men at the rim. Like the classic, like, you know, the Aaron Baines dunk, the Jalen Smith dunk, the Wemby dunk, the classic half court, go straight into a big and try to dunk over a big. That is, he has not tried to do that once this season. And that dunk, Porzingis was in the vicinity, but that was not that genre of dunk.
Right. Yeah. No, he, and literally there was, I mean, Porzingis' arm was up there. The only way to do it was to pump and then go up and dunk. So he did what had to be done. It was that same game where he got a layup. Right, he could have easily dunked it, and he just went and laid it in.
Right.
So he's obviously being smart, I guess the way it is to put it. But he was absolutely electric. And then Jaren, and you had numbers on Ja and Jaren, who have both been terrific over the course of the year.
I mean, I don't remember what numbers I wrote 3 days ago.
No, there were numbers you just tweeted out about where they rank. Where they rank in scoring, but where they rank per 36, I think it was.
That's probably changed as of today, but at the time I wrote it, they were both in the, if you look at just scoring average per game, they were both in the 30s, like 33rd and 36th, I think. But then if you do it per 36 minutes and sort of, you know, equal out the minutes, district, the minutes, basically a per minute kind of thing, they were both top 10. Jaren, I think if anything has gone up since then, because he scored 21 points in 17 minutes.
Right, yeah.
The next night against Washington. So Jaren's scoring rate is extremely high this season. It's just a little bit hidden because of the minutes he plays.
Yeah, you do wonder about that. So your tweet as of a day ago, Jackson and Morant were 33rd and 36th in scoring average, but per 36 minutes were 9th and 10th. At that point, Morant was ahead of Jackson, but now it may be Jackson back ahead of Morant. It is interesting because I know, like, individual honors and recognition and whatever isn't the point of it all. But we did have this sort of theme of, is Ja going to come back and reclaim his place in the, you know, in the galaxy of stars? And you do wonder, like, I don't know how it is being perceived nationally. The highlights are, you know, go viral. And the fact that it's coming on a team that is now second in the West has to get some recognition. But I do wonder, like, all-star team comes around. Like, I wonder, is he reclaiming? He is with his play, but is he? Maybe it's the best job we've ever seen on both sides of the court. But is he reclaiming that spot?
I think there's a lot of stuff there. I think that to some degree, I think even the people broadly who get to vote on these things, mm-hmm. and they don't all pay attention as much as they probably should. But I think even broadly, I think there is less focus on game averages than there was 20 years ago. I know for me, like, I almost never even look at it. The idea of, like, who got the scoring title? Like, I kind of told you that in 1995. I don't even think about it anymore.
Right.
It's just not the kind of thing I look at anymore or think about. I think it's becoming more like that. But I do think, and I've heard this on pods here and there when discussing players, Jaren in particular, the limited minutes, sometimes it gets held against the player. Like, yeah, he's been good, but he's only, you know, he's played 200 fewer minutes than so-and-so player. Well, like, that's because the team is good. you know, because of the way they approach it. I worry that not so much the game averages, but the low minutes themselves may get held against guys. But I think ultimately it's going to be a matter of winning and a matter of, I think the level of play is going to be acknowledged, and I think the winning is what's going to boost it. And with Ja, I think it's mostly been he's missed games. And so to this point, the games missed weighs pretty heavily, but the more you go forward and the more you play, the less that means. I think they're both in good shape. If the Grizzlies are second, third in the West, I think they're both going to be strong all-star candidates, and that'll be the first thing that comes up.
Yeah, it is sort of funny. And then if you look around the league, like the two Tyreses have both, like, you know, who were some might have put on his level last year, right? And both kind of, for right. one reason or another, fallen off. I don't know what guards you would say have played better than Ja this year.
Well, yeah, especially you look around the West, and like Darren Fox has got a nice stat line, but if they're 11th in the West, he's not making an all-star team over Ja Morant. And Devin Booker is like, you know, has a certain stature, but if Phoenix is like 9th in the West, I think... So, you know, it's going to be Luka Doncic, it's going to be Steph Curry, right. It's going to be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Right.
Well, that's only three. I think, you're talking about all-star, that's going to be Ja. Once you get to the end of the season, like, I don't know, is Steph Curry like going to be more of an all-NBA candidate than Ja Morant if the Grizzlies are second or third in the West and the Warriors are sixth or seventh? I don't think so.
A massive win by the Grizzlies against the Celtics. Anything else particular strike you from that game? Well, we had 34 minutes. You did wonder, is he going to toggle up the minutes in meaningful games that are close? John, Jaren both played 34 minutes.
Yeah, I think in addition to pulling the plug on Smart, he came back with Morant late in the third, earlier than I think he would have, in direct response to a Celtics run. I thought that was good. And then he played, you know, again, those guys did not play enormous minutes. The top 3 minutes played guys in that game were Boston Celtics. Right. But I think he did, you know, they've been averaging 28, 29, and that game they were 33, 34. And that's sort of what I've been talking about. I don't have a need for those guys to average 34 minutes just because other players do. But I think in certain games, when those extra 3 or 4 minutes is going to make a difference to winning a game, I think they need to lean into it when those opportunities arise. Just like, guess what? The next night, you don't even have to play Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson. You only play 17 minutes, and you run off on Washington, right? You'll make up for it elsewhere. But I think in games like, you know, a Boston game, a Dallas game that's tied in the fourth quarter, that's where I think it is appropriate to lean into it a little bit more. And I think the benefit is worth the cost.
Yeah. Leaned in on those two, made the changes, pulled the plug on Marcus Smart. And by the way,
it was a really well-managed game by Taylor Jenkins at Boston.
And then also made the decision to leave Drew Holiday and let him fire up as many threes as he wanted.
Yeah, mostly. I mean, they put Jaren on him and let Jaren tag off. They were trying to rotate and contest on some of those. You know, if he was making more, maybe you adjust the strategy. I think if it's on a playoff game, maybe Boston adjusts the strategy a little bit. And he's not standing in the corner as much. Right. But it definitely worked in that setting. You'd ask sort of generally what else jumped out to me. I think I tied the Washington game into this, and I talked about it a little bit, I think, on Friday after the Sacramento game. I think Jay Huff is playing really well right now. And in some ways, I think he's playing better than he did. Early in the season, he had more outbursts, and he hasn't had as many outbursts lately. But I think holistically, like play-by-play, moment-by-moment, he's been even better. And I just think he's had a really, really strong stretch for the Grizzlies. I mean, the Washington game, it didn't matter as much because they were just going to win that game. But I think it's really been helpful to them, especially against Sacramento and Boston.
They made that massive shot from the corner against Boston when it was close. He was terrific. All right. And then last night, you go in, you play the Wizards, and it is interesting. The bench scores 76 points. But as Pete and Brevin pointed out, that bench, you already playing much of your bench in your starting lineup because you've got
no
Ja, no Bane, no Edie, no Vince, no Gigi, no Luke.
Kennard.
Yeah, no Kennard. So all of those guys are gone, and yet your bench still accounts for 76 points. And Jaren leading the way, not on the bench, but leading the way as your one star who played 21 points in 17 minutes. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that was sort of like that was the closest you're going to get to like a G League game this season played by the Memphis Grizzlies. They right. even had the uniforms that sort of looked like the Memphis Hustle. So like that was like, you know, you may not get down to South Haven, but if you tuned in last night, you sort of saw a really good Hustle game a little bit.
What'd you think of Camp Spencer? Speaking of Hustle games,
well, that's kind of what I was thinking, right? Like I thought he was good, but that's like as close as he's going to get to like a G League game in the NBA. So it's kind of hard to get a read, right? So I don't know. He's a good basketball player. I don't have any like strong feelings about what his future is at this point.
Right. And then Yuki, we get Yuki Mania as well. He's got the following even there in DC. Like, I wonder, is this just Japanese like people in DC who are going crazy for Yuki when he hits the step back three over Marvin Bagley, who I give you credit. You were never a big fan of Marvin Bagley.
I was sort of wishy-washy on Bagley. I like Jaren better. And with Bagley, I should have stuck to my convictions more on Bagley. Because what I basically said about Bagley at the time was, I have some concerns about how his game translates to the NBA level. But, like, he's averaging 20 and 10 at a really young age at a really high level. And, like, he's probably going to be good because guys like that are always good. But when you would watch him play back then, and you actually thought about the NBA game, like how is he going to defend, where are the shots coming from? I like Jaren's game much better, even though Jaren was someone who didn't have the pedigree or the production, you know?
Yeah, he's really good with the second jump. His second jump was really quick, second jump. And but yeah, it was interesting how, and I don't know who else was in that draft, but
it was wild watching Jaren and Bagley in that game and then thinking about where it was. At some point late in that game, like Bagley's out there in mop-up duty, you know, setting the screen on Yuki or whatever, you know?
And if you had asked the listeners to your basic Memphis radio show, who do you want, Bagley or Jaren, it would not have been close. It would have been 90.
It was not close. It was overwhelming. It was overwhelming in favor of Bagley back then. Because he was, as I said snidely at the time, but I think it was true, he was you know, he was dunking on ESPN every night.
Right. That's exactly right. And now you got a big, got a nice big break until the revenge game against Brooklyn. So there you go. All right, Chris, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. We got Monday night. You know what we got tonight, Jeffrey? We got the
Simpsons game.
We got the Simpsons game. Are you have great expectations for the Simpsons game?
I'll tune in.
Well, what happens? What do they do?
So it's all kind of like it looks like motion capture, if you will, because I watched the Toy Story game a little bit. So
it does follow the game. You can tell what's going on
correct,
in the game.
Correct. It follows the game. It'll be like set like on a Springfield, like outdoor, like it looks like a youth field, and they'll play there. And so it kind of runs around like that.
And at least it is a game when, you know, you need something else
need
to create extra interest tonight, because it's Bengals versus the Cowboys, two of the most disappointing teams in the league. If you want to wager on it, though, all customers over at FanDuel get a 30% catch-a-pass profit boost on the Bengals-Cowboys Monday night football game. That means you can boost your next NFL catch-a-pass bet by 30% and take home even more winnings during the Bengals-Cowboys game. Also bet on over-unders, spreads, player props, so much more. Plus, if you win, you get paid instantly. So don't wait. Download America's number one sportsbook by going to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, to take advantage of a profit boost today. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee, opt-in required. Max wager amount applies. Bonus issues, not trouble. Profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms for both offers at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. It is kind of interesting, Jeffrey. Just last week, I was talking about what a fine time it has been for Memphis sports, what a fine time last week was for Memphis sports. And then things happen. Right. And Memphis basketball lost and the Grizzlies went and had this weekend. But it's pretty clear that if we are hoping for another signature Memphis sports moment, and by that I'm talking about 2008 Memphis Tigers, basketball Tigers. I'm talking about 2011 Memphis Grizzlies. I'm talking about 2013 Memphis Grizzlies. I'm talking about 2019 Memphis football Tigers. I'm talking about the moments that we all remember when the entire city is galvanized, right? It's the Grizzlies who could provide that for us this year.
Yeah, because they're going to probably play more meaningful postseason.
They're really, and it's interesting. I refer to Jermaine Johnson, who was on with Jason and John last week talking about the Memphis Tigers. But he is just one great metaphor after another. And he said, the sky isn't the limit. The sky is in the way. That was his take on how you should live your life. You don't want the sky to be a limit. You want the sky to be in your way. After this week for the Grizzlies, this weekend for the Grizzlies, the sky is in their way.
I mean, they went to Boston and won.
They're second in the West.
Correct.
All right, we're going to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
If you're getting engaged this holiday season, well, congratulations. I was just talking to Claire. She wouldn't mind some jewelry herself, honestly. We're not getting engaged, but the order has gone out. So I'll be heading to Robert Irwin Jewelers. And you should, too, if you're getting engaged, because they're unbelievable at what they do. It's kind of amazing to me now. 46 years, Howie and company have been here in Memphis. They came from New York, and they're totally invested in the community. They're not some, Johnny come lately. They've been making people happy with stunning jewelry for nearly five decades now. And if you are getting engaged, what you need to know is they've got the meant to be guarantee. And it just shows how confident they are that you're going to love your ring, because 365 days after you buy it, you can return it. No questions asked. You won't. There's not a prayer she will let you. But that's how confident they are. You will love your shopping experience at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Plus, all the stuff that they offer to go along with it. The free jewelry spa service for life, the free ring sizing for life, 24 months deferred interest, or take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. For more than 46 years, Robert Irwin Jewelers, right here in Memphis. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers, online at rijewelers.com. So, Jeffrey, we have a whole lot of other things to talk about that we have not yet talked about, including, so I went to Kroger Saturday evening.
All right.
And this is, people don't realize, I struggled to get through the day. I decided to bring Gus just for an outing. Okay. So I bring Gus for the outing and park, crack the windows a little bit.
Yep.
Okay. Go in, do some shopping on some things I needed at Kroger. I check out. I get to the car and I realize I don't have my keys. And my phone has died.
Okay.
The battery is dead and my phone is dead. So what do? I reach in through the cracked window thinking maybe I dropped the keys in the car, right? But as soon as you then reach in and unlock it from the inside,
the alarm goes off.
The alarm goes off. So now, and then
you're suspicious when you're...
And everyone, yes. You're in Kroger, and this was at 9 o'clock at night in the Kroger parking lot. People think I'm breaking into a car.
Well, it doesn't help when you're reaching in.
And yeah. You're reaching in. The dog is now, what the hell is going on here? The thing is, you can't even think. It's beeping incessantly. It does stop after a while. So I'm looking for my keys. They're not there. I go walking through the store then looking for my keys. I go ask if anyone's turned in keys. I can't call Claire to say, could you come get me and Gus and the groceries.
Because your phone is dead.
Because my phone is dead. So what do you do?
So, and you were clearly able to determine your keys were not in the car.
The keys, well, no, just to be clear, I then went back and I repeated the whole thing. I reached in, because I had to lock the door. I had to close the door again or Gus would have gotten
out. Right.
So I reached in, I undid it, the phone honked again. Their keys were not in the car.
I mean, at that point, you're asking to borrow a phone.
I think you're borrowing it as a charge, but I don't even know Claire's phone number. Like, I don't know anyone's phone number. So you're borrowing a block to recharge up my phone, to have Claire come and get me and the whatever. And then,
yeah,
well, I walked through the store again. I asked the guy who was sweeping up again. And then it did occur to me that on the way in, you know those fire starter log things that they have? You know, the sort of the, whatever?
Yeah. They're usually outside, like at the... Yeah. Yeah.
I had stopped to get some.
Left your keys there when you're picking them up.
That's where my keys were.
Right there in broad daylight.
My point is that I can be critical of anyone for any number of reasons here on this radio show, I guess. But I understand it's... Yeah, I want you to understand it's coming from a context of I barely can make it through my own life. So I'm not really that critical of... any of y'all. So I just wanted to get that on the table to begin with. In terms of actual sports news that we have not discussed, conversations ongoing with Bill Belichick and the University of North Carolina. And the thing, we dismissed this when we talked about this last week, but the thing that makes it interesting is he would bring Steve Belichick with him, his son, who's now the defensive coordinator in Washington, and there would be a succession plan in place. So why would he do this? He would do this in order to, listen, yes, does he want to catch Don Shula and break history? Yes. Does he also want to help his kid? In fact, of the two, I'll tell you this, if I had a chance between, quote-unquote, making history, I don't know what kind of history I'd make, or helping my kids, I'd help my kids.
Yeah, I do also think it's important to note, reportedly, the feedback from the NFL was not positive about open jobs.
Right.
And so that kind of led him to explore other options. And I do think that, like, to your point, I did not take this seriously at all until we got to Friday. And then Friday, then you find out the succession plan and getting Steven the gig. That starts to change it. But then I started thinking, if you're a Carolina fan, are you in on this?
As compared to what?
Like, would you have rather had John Sumrall? Like, I know Sumrall said he's staying at Tulane.
Yes, but you told me even when this first came up, you didn't think he'd take it.
Yeah, because I think he's waiting on SEC.
Because you think he's
gigs.
Waiting for an SEC gig.
I don't know. Like, Steven's unproven. Like, it is funny.
But he's not just a legacy. Like, he's done a good job. The Washington defense is actually better than last year.
Yeah, but it is, I don't know, it's always just funny to me how, in general, we are opposed to nepotism, except like in football and honestly professional wrestling. Like, we found out somebody's dad was in wrestling, like, oh yeah, well, he's got the pedigree, yeah, there lineage.
Is, yeah, we think pedigree is good. Well, the other thing, though, is we don't mind nepotism if it gets us the thing we want. Like, no one minded hiring Milt Wagner in Memphis if it got you Dwan Wagner. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, so if it gets you a thing that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise. Now, I don't know that North Carolina fans think getting Bill Belichick is some prize, but it's only because of the nepotism with his son and that connection that you'd be getting Bill to begin with.
Right.
And so I would, here's the truth. Like, every coaching hire, I talk myself into it.
Yeah, but
I wonder
funny,
about
like
the recruiting part.
But like,
right?
Part of it is also like, part of you being done with Mac is Mac's old. It's like, I think they're the same age.
That's true. The other question that they asked on Unsportsmanlike this morning is, if he took the job this week, because Portal opens today, right?
Portal opens today. Also, he's going to be on ESPN all day. Today's like, Monday's like one of his, he has, yeah, McAfee. I think we have the Simpsons and the Manning cast tonight.
So, But if he takes the job this week, and then let's just say that the Bills' job, which I don't believe it would ever happen, or the Eagles' job, or some really good job,
okay,
some coach, like, let's just take the Bills game. Let's say the Bills are in the AFC Championship game, and they take a timeout in a moment when they didn't have to,
yeah,
just hypothetically,
okay,
and cost them their chance because of time management down the stretch, cost their and
like maybe they decided to run the ball and not
score. Run the ball from the goal 1-1 and okay, waste time and take a timeout. I'm just okay, but whatever. And so then finally Terry Pegula is, I can't do this anymore. I mean, in this game, hypothetically, let's pretend that Josh Allen scores 6 touchdowns, right? And yet the freaking head coach costs Josh Allen the chance to win in advance.
All right.
And he's just so frustrated. He says, screw this. I'm hiring Belichick.
Also, the defense got a grand total of 1 stop all game, just in case.
And the defense, and here's a defensive mastermind.
Yes.
Who can help us fix our freaking defense, which hypothetically, again, in this AFC Championship game that I'm talking about, gets 1 stop all game. So he fires him and then says, go get Belichick. And Belichick's down there in North Carolina. Could he take the job? And what they were arguing on Sportsmanlike is yes. Because you already have the succession plan
there.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
You're not leaving him high and dry. You're just accelerating the succession plan.
I wonder if he's been blackballed.
Blackballed by the NFL?
Yeah.
For what?
He's been on a lot of these shows.
For ripping a lot of the owners?
He's been ripping a lot of owners.
He's clearly been blackballed by those owners. Like, he's not going to Atlanta.
Yeah, but
you know,
we kind of know the NFL.
He's not going to the Jets.
The NFL's not afraid of doing the shadowy, you know.
So you don't rule it out?
I don't rule it out. I also, I don't know. In my head, it's not something that makes a ton of sense, but I guess the one thing that you can say is what has been clear to me the last couple of years is you need a name that motivates the largest percentage of your fan base to give money.
That's exactly true.
And Belichick would do this.
He would do that. In other, by the way, college head coaching news, Scott Frost back to UCF. What do you think
of that?
Is
this for real?
What do you mean, is it for real?
Like, I've seen his name. Like, is this going to be the hire?
It seems like it's the hire.
Whoo, boy. I mean, I guess the first question is, what do you learn?
I mean, he didn't have to learn anything from UCF. He was good at UCF.
Yeah, but he was at UCF when they were in the American.
That's the problem.
And also, when he was at UCF, like, let's think about it in these terms. Let's add a little context. Number one, Miami had not done the Ruiz thing.
He's been introduced as their new football coach.
Okay, I didn't know.
That's how done it is. Yes. This is 100% for real.
Was this yesterday?
Yeah.
That got swallowed up in the NFL.
So there you go.
But like, to me, like, think about it in this context. Number one, you're in a significantly more difficult league. Number two, Miami was not operating like they are now. You did not have the portal and NIL at the level that you do now, where everything has become transactional, and Florida and Florida State are at least trying. I'm not saying they've been successful, but they're operating at a higher level.
The odds are very clear. He will not be as successful. He's the one who won them their quote unquote national championship. Like, the odds are he will not be as successful as he was then. And then what's the history of these? You've seen this. Some places. We just saw it in North Carolina.
Yeah, right? I mean, there's like a nostalgia factor.
And we've seen it at USC did it.
Sure.
Once upon a time. And so others have done it. It is sort of interesting. Like, if Mike Norvell got run out, let's just say, okay, Ryan has another, let's say Ryan has a disastrous year next year.
All right.
Okay? Needs a new quarterback, has a disastrous year next year. And Mike Norvell has another disastrous year at Florida State next year. Okay. Or a bad year. Not this bad, but bad, okay? Yeah. So they make a change. How would people feel about Mike Norvell coming back?
I think they'd welcome him back.
And, Scott Frost did more at UCF than Mike did here. I mean, he wanted a higher level, even higher.
It's funny, though. It's something about
just feel like it's a bad idea.
Well, it's just, I just think that when he was at UCF, UCF was a better job.
I think that's, it was an easier to win job.
Correct.
They make more money now. Like, they bring in more money now. But it was easier to win.
But you make more money, but relatively,
sort of funny, though.
You're still kind of on
like
the lower end.
It's like getting back together with an ex-girlfriend, right?
Sure.
Is it a good idea, generally speaking?
I mean, there's plenty of examples.
Or is it getting together with, it's you know what, it's not like getting together with an ex-girlfriend. That happens all the time. People break up and they get back together. And in the course of relationships, of highs and lows, and they realize they whatever. You know what it's like? It's like getting back together with someone you divorced.
Yeah.
That's what it's like.
And they divorced you because they thought they could do better.
They could do better. Right.
Right.
It's like getting back together
with
someone.
And then now it's like a how you like me now.
Come crawling back.
Yeah. His high school girlfriend came calling.
Rich Rod, did you call this one?
I did have this one
this
on the
one?
Bingo card.
Rich Rod, Jacksonville State wins the Conference USA title. And Rich Rod, if you want reunions, that would be interesting. Could be going back to West Virginia. We have not heard definitively on that. Southern Miss, Charles Huff.
Yeah, that one.
The Marshall head coach wins the Sun Belt. Charles Huff then jumps to Southern Miss. Anything else from the world of
Well, also, Barry Odom's going to get the Purdue job.
Oh, yeah, Barry Odom. Shout out to Barry Odom.
Man, I hope he gets
a tough job.
I hope he gets a good contract.
It's a good contract. That's a tough job. That's a tough job. Okay. More sports news that we have not gotten to. Juan Soto gets the big deal to go to the Mets.
Yeah, so it's...
It is the money is just
15
so
years,
incredibly
$765 million. No deferred money,
right? Unlike it is more money. Shohei's money is 49 million a year. This is 51, but Shohei's is deferred.
Correct.
A lot of that money is deferred. Here, none of it is deferred. Has an opt out after 5 years. He has the opt out after 5 years. I recall just 3 years ago, he was being ridiculed for turning down $440 million. Now he gets $765 million. He's 26 years old.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's put it into this context. He sat at a table, and they're like, "Okay, what do you want?" He just threw out, "I don't know. What about like $750 million?"
Just
okay,
crazy.
I believe also with incentives, it can go up to $800 million. I mean, I think that's kind of the other question is, how much of this contract does he actually fulfill? Because if salaries continue to go up and he is going to become the best hitter in baseball, isn't he opting
out
in 5 years?
He can opt out after 5 years. Yeah, speaking of big money, Taylor Swift wrapped up the Eras Tour, Jeffrey. 149th show in Vancouver. 21 months, the Eras Tour. Total money, ticket money. This is just her ticket sales.
Right,
this
just
is not secondary
revenue,
market.
Yeah.
$2,077,618,725 spent. That is more than double the next biggest tour in the history of tours. 10,168,008 people. Saw the tour.
Of all the numbers, and maybe it's because I'm not contextualizing it, that number was the most underwhelming.
That only 10 million people
saw her? Yeah, it's like, I would have thought it would have been way more than that.
10 million saw her, paid $2 billion. The average ticket price, this is to her, the average ticket price was $204. Now, that doesn't include, obviously, merch, and it doesn't include the secondary market. So, in Vancouver, for example, according to Victory Live, which is a StubHub kind of thing,
yeah,
in Canada, right? Or maybe it's not just in Canada. According to Victory Live, which did a brisk business in the Vancouver Eras Tour, there the average ticket price was $2,952. Just
so
unbelievable.
The question, though, that I have is, and I have no idea, but, like, what's her take-home?
I don't know how you'd begin to know.
I mean, is it like half? I mean, it seems like it's not, because that's
if it generated. Well, of course,
this shows this is an expensive,
it doesn't include
show
the merch.
But on top of it, like, her act is expensive to put on. The stage, lights, the amount of personnel, everything. Like, I can see where, like,
so if she brings in $2 billion,
yeah,
in terms of ticket revenue, does she take home?
The number that I'd always heard is around half, but I don't know if that's...
But then don't you imagine that more than whatever you take in there is spent on merch. Like if you spend an average of $205 is the ticket prices for her, right? Don't you think most people are spending, that's to get to the $2 billion, is an average of two. Don't you think a lot of people are spending more than $200 on merch?
And if it's not more, you can tell me it's the same.
The same? Yeah. So that's another $2
billion. I mean, it's good to be in the Taylor Swift business.
Taylor Swift, richer than Juan Soto.
By a lot.
By a lot.
Yes.
By a whole lot. Of course, there's I guess, only one of her.
Juan Soto, too.
In terms of the NFL, generally, yeah, that Bills game happened, which we referred to sort of glancingly. There are some other questions that have emerged. One is, do the Falcons make a change at quarterback?
Yeah, what do the Falcons do? Because Kirk's playing badly.
Six turnovers, six interceptions the last two games.
And it's eight over the last four. No touchdowns. That's kind of tough to do.
Here's the part of this that we don't know. Is what Penix looks like.
Correct.
Like we're assuming
we've seen mop up duty. That's, you know, who the heck knows contextually.
And then did Josh, even in losing, did he advance his MVP case?
I think so, because yesterday was a pretty sleepy day of football, and we finally got to a good game, and then the good game is like him just supermaning.
Well, the other thing is one of the criticisms of his MVP candidacy this year has been, although he's had Superman moments, he actually hasn't had to be a Superman.
Correct.
The team has played well. Defensively, they've played well. So, in fact, even relative to other years, if you look at what the Ravens are doing and what Lamar has to do to make the Ravens win over the course of the year, it's been a lot because the Ravens' defense has consistently stunk. Right.
Correct. And yesterday was the first time.
Yeah. Josh had to, like, he had to do it.
Although I would argue the Ravens game, their defense was bad, but that's it.
Yes. I think he helped his cause.
I mean, he was incredible. I mean, that's the thing, though. As wild as the game was, it really came down to the block punt.
Yeah. And the Chiefs doinking another, and now they got a 2-game lead on the Bills. They're going to have home field. They're going to have home field throughout the playoffs.
So happy for them.
But they are vulnerable, aren't they? Their defense is good.
Their defense is good. I will say the Chargers' second half made me think about them a little bit differently because they basically just said, all right, we're actually going to line up and go at you man for man. And most teams haven't really been willing to do that. It's right. Like, all right, we know Chris Jones in the middle. We got to avoid him. They basically just said, bring it on.
What's coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John Mondays. It is with you joining them on Mondays. Jason Munns will join me and Coach Hurd today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Cobb will be back with the boys on the Gabe Kuhn Show with George and Connor.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. We will be back tomorrow. For now, work is done.